This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We got a good one tonight. Game of the year, Chiefs at Ravens. Both teams coming at 2-0. Patrick Mahomes this season has 513 yards and 5 touchdowns. Lamar Jackson right behind him with 479 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Chiefs have Sammy Watkins listed as questionable. This one is a chance to be high scoring, but if it comes down to field goals, the Chiefs have Harrison Butker, who has scored the most points by a kicker after 47 games with 445.
Beefcake, very handsome. No doubt. Very handsome.
And the Ravens, Dan, have the most accurate kicker in the history of the NFL. He, of course, is Justin Tucker. Commercial insurance.
That's a matchup. You guys were paying attention to the quarterbacks, and you need to be paying attention to the kickers for real.
Yep. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dreams. Choose from over 30 coverage options at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
If the black guys keep taking the quarterback positions, we will focus on the kickers. We will have spinning kickers coming at you and setting up the next the next preview. This is going to end up being a fun one tonight. We'll get to Christine Lisi in a second, and also Greg Cody being a terrible teammate. But Stugatz, why did you just say to Mike, Yam came on a strange day this year? It really snuck up on everybody.
It's just, you know, like Yam came on a Sunday. There was Eastern Conference Finals. It was a great NFL game. You have to go to Cole Nidre Services, three and a half hours. Just snuck up on me. College game day on Saturday.
Why were you saying it? Why?
Oh, because Mike asked me about the weekend observations, and he said, are they done? And I said, I have the frameworks of
You've been complaining since you came in here that you haven't been able to eat since last night, and you've been making it the excuse for every single thing that's happened around here that you've gotten wrong, that you haven't been able to have breakfast, basically. You have turned it into you are a starving nation, because you basically haven't been able to have breakfast.
Because you weren't able to use the 30 minutes before the show to get your bagel. Oddly enough, bagel time ate into your prep time, which could have been used for weekend observation.
Yeah, but you know those Snickers commercials, you're not yourself when you're hungry, you know, and then you eat something and you turn back into yourself, you know what I'm saying? That's what I feel like. I sat down, I tried to do it, I couldn't really concentrate because I haven't eaten since sundown last night.
What was the excuse last week when I got him on Wednesday?
Well, the excuse last week when you got him on Wednesday was the 2 weeks before I had done them ready for Monday, and you guys, because we didn't have enough time because of Dr. Pepper, and we just kept moving along. Like, just sponsored.
That is not Dr. Pepper's
it's
fault.
Totally not Dr. Pepper's fault. It's all on me. I mean, everything is on me.
Today.
Yes, they have.
So, I want to understand something, though, because you, I just can't tell you how stunned I am that you don't cheat on the holy holiday. Just your general demeanor. I thought for sure you'd be like sneaking peanuts and candy, like that there was no way that you specifically would honor the rituals of the tribe.
I'm repenting for a year's worth of sins, Dan. It's the one day I have to do it. Lord knows I have a lot of sins to repent for, and so this is the day. Like,
it's not the same. Is it the Lord? The Lord.
Yes. I mean, Dan, and this is the one day where I can do it, and I have to fast until sundown, and I'm trying to set a good example for my daughters, and so I take this day very, very seriously.
I know, but I believe that you take the day very seriously.
So seriously, I'm working.
When your daughters weren't looking, that you would sneak snacks, I would think.
I've done that.
I was going to say, if you were taking it so seriously, you probably shouldn't be working today, right?
Yeah, probably not. But a football Monday, Heat made it to the NBA Finals. I was on college game day. I mean, I was coming in today.
Duty bound, but not with your work done. You were coming in today, but just to have FaceTime and microphone, not to do your work.
Yeah.
The weekend observations, your one assignment around here. It literally is the only thing we ask you to do, and it gets a lot of help.
Yeah.
The best part about your college game day experience is we're going to get laughs out of that for the rest of the year because they always show the leaderboard. I don't think Chris Paul and Bill Murray did particularly well, so your name is going to be up there against some like heavy hitters.
It's
all year long, there's going to be a reminder at 11:50 every Saturday that you were their 17th choice one time.
It is. It was a flabbergasting. Look, Miami... Do you realize with the weekend that Miami just had in sports that Stugatz represents our greatest victory? With the University of Miami football team climbing to the top 10, with an out-of-nowhere Heat team that snuck up on people more than Yom, a Heat team that came out of nowhere to get to the finals, and then, oh, by the way, the Marlins, who we have been defecating on for a decade, they're in the playoffs. None of those were as big a victory as Stugatz's name with Lee Corso and the guy I called Carl Ravitch earlier, Reese Davis,
yeah,
and Bill Murray and Chris Paul. Do we have any more sound from that? Because the idea that Reese Davis would say to you, please let me do my show.
Yeah,
like he basically, he is the guy running that thing, and it's got to be hard to run that thing on Zoom. It has to be hard.
It has to be hard running that thing when everyone's on set, on location. It has to be hard running that
thing. You've got people on delay, and that show has done a very gentle job with Lee Corso that has been very kind. And I know some of you, object because you want it fast-paced, and it's been a pleasure, honestly, to see that show allow him age with grace, even over your objections, because you want him to be the cartoon character you remember from 30 years ago. But the idea that Lee Corso looked better than Stugatz, which was an upset, okay?
No doubt, yep.
Looked better than Stugatz because Stugatz didn't bother to shave.
No.
And Stugatz looked uncommonly haggard, even by his diminished standards.
Right.
Like, I was shocked to see how you looked. And I sit next to you every day. I was shocked to see how you looked.
They called me. Listen, bad lighting in that room, I'm telling you. The producer, the lighting guy, I had a whole crew come over the house. And I was telling them, I think the
lighting. They thought they were going to J-Lo's house.
You know, they woke up that morning thinking they were going to J-Lo and A-Rod's house. And then they turned out going out to Stugatz's house. They were not very happy when they got there. I think they sabotaged me with the lighting. I was trying to offer them lunch, turkey, some roast beef, whatever they wanted.
Got
to
get it in before that Yom snuck up.
Oh, I got it in, and then it snuck up out of nowhere. All of a sudden, it was Yom Kippur. I'm sitting in Temple. I'm at Kol Nidre services. Someone's blowing on the shofar. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. What a couple of days it's been. And now you know I don't have the weekend observation done. I don't know if anything I said made sense, but I haven't eaten since last night.
Listen, the comedian perfection of your word choices with blowing on the chafar.
It's incredible. It's a career built on failing.
It's unbelievable. He came in here today. We were looking at just making fun of him in this segment for not doing his job. He didn't shave for College Game Day. This is why he's a legend. And he knocks everything off its axis with blowing on the shofar.
Can you wear a soundbite? Because if you could somehow put this soundbite on a t-shirt, this is legendary stuff right here.
Hey, Stugatz, not so fast, my friend.
Oh, it's great.
How are your parents? Proud?
So proud.
Or did they have enough time to know that you were on there since you were the 17th choice?
It was a mad scramble in the morning. Let's get that sound, by the way, of Stugatz doing the show here with Greg Cody and Ethan Skolnick. You will hear Stugatz ask a question of Ethan Skolnick. And what happens next, Stugatz, because I was not here. Explain to me how it is that you would set this up.
This is on the intro. This is right out of a break. Stugatz gets something caught in his throat. You're not here, so you turn to Greg Cody to bail you out, much like Michael Eaves needed his co-anchor, much like Bomani Jones needed Shannon. You had Greg Cody.
Ethan Skolnick continues with us now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline.
Ethan, are you there?
I am here.
All right.
I think that's been edited because it felt like 30 seconds before Cody
just
said anything.
Useless. That's generally the time does tend to slow down a little bit, Stugatz, when you're choking.
You would know because you have your own high-profile choking incident. This is
with a peanut.
Way back.
Oh, boy.
And Sugats was there for you.
The discussion that we have that makes this complicated is that Shaq makes the sidekick so much better.
Shaq makes the sidekick so much better as Dan is choking on a peanut right now. That is my memorable moment ever.
I had a peanut shell morsel stuck in my throat. That's the only way to shut me up right there.
Sounds so much younger.
Thinner, too.
If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and the Big Suey On Demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring Southbeat Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crepe. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
So Tyler Hero is going to join us here in about 12 minutes or so, but I actually, this is doubly rude, I forgot that we interrupted Christine Lisi, and then I forgot to apologize to Christine Lisi for interrupting her, so I'm sorry, Christine, what happened?
Alice Cooper used to babysit Keanu Reeves. How about that?
How about that?
I believe we've talked to Alice Cooper about that. Thank you for being on with us, Christine. We appreciate it, and I'm so sorry for not getting to you last segment. Stugats, the Raiders are being investigated for violating COVID protocols, and that just has to be so. Those two things have to be so. Raiders violating any protocols, Raiders, that specific franchise, and also now the Vegas Raiders.
Right.
Doubly redundant on the debauchery and rule-breaking front. So many interesting things from football yesterday, and you can hear them covered elsewhere on the network because we are going to be Miami-obsessed here for a while during the finals. We have not had the ability to do this as a show since the Heat, the last time they did it, where we could just sort of sink into the local story in Miami being also a worthy national story, even as crowded as it is, Stugats, and it is crowded. Like, I am with Billy. Billy was out in front and saying it's just all too much. It is a binge. I don't know. Your favorite food is what? Chicken parm? What?
Chicken parm.
There is such a thing as too much, though, right? Like, at some point, you can't just keep eating chicken parm.
You can't. I can go, like, 5 out of 7 days, but I need a break, right? And what's happening with sports is there's no break. There just isn't. Like, tonight, you have maybe the NFL game of the year after you had everything last night. And yesterday, a full slate of NFL action, Major League Baseball going into the playoffs. And then tomorrow, it doesn't stop. You have a game tonight, and then you have 13 Major League Baseball playoff games over the next 2 days.
You can make the argument, could you not, that yesterday is as strange a baseball day as there has ever been. It's the last day of the season, and a team could have gone from 2 to 7 in the seeding. First of all, the idea that there's a 7 seed in baseball is totally absurd. The idea that you have a couple of sub-500 teams in the playoffs is totally absurd. The Marlins are in the playoffs with a worse run differential than the Mets, Phillies, and Nationals, who aren't. Those are all teams that failed to make it, but the Marlins, I think they've got run differential over 162-game sample is a pretty good indicator of what a team is record-wise, or should be record-wise. That's the 500 mark. Is zero at run differential. Like, if you're doing it that way, that's a simplified way of doing it.
Right. The Marlins are minus 41.
I think it's the worst in the playoffs. I think they've been outscored by 41 runs, but this is exactly the way to get into the playoffs. You can make the argument it's the only way for the Marlins to have gotten into the playoffs when there are 125-mile-per-hour fire tornadoes. Out west, during a pandemic, during everything turned upside down. This does not dilute Billy's enthusiasm.
What do tornadoes have to do with the Marlins? I feel like we're now just going off on some larger thing that has nothing to do with the Marlins. This run difference, 162 sample size, blah, blah, blah. There was only 60 games, all right? Relax. They would have gotten things under control. The Marlins only made the playoffs. You know how many teams didn't make the playoffs? I don't even know. It seems like more teams made the playoffs that didn't make the playoffs. But some of the heavy hitters didn't make the playoffs, and they had the exact same chance to make the playoffs as the Marlins, Dan. So I know you want to take this away from them, but it's not going to happen today, and it's not going to happen tomorrow. Just go back to the Heat, all right?
How many teams are in the baseball playoffs? Is it 14 or 16?
The same number as in the NBA playoffs, Dan Le Batard.
The only reason I asked you is because that would mean that exactly the same number of teams made the playoffs as didn't make the playoffs. No? Isn't that what that means? Like if there are 16 teams in the playoffs?
I don't know. This isn't math class. Let's talk sports.
So what does that mean? 34 teams in Major League Baseball? What happened?
Tyler Hero joins us next.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Hoping to have Tyler Hero there in just a minute.
Did you see the video from the Army game of a player headbutting with a helmet, a coach who was not wearing a helmet, and how disorienting that was to the player who and the coach? Who hit it? Did you see this?
Because, no, I did not see
because
it.
Because it looked like the cartoon overreaction that someone would have in film to being headbutted by someone with a helmet. Like he was totally confused, and it was as if a swarm of hornets were around his head.
I'm going to check it out right now. Am I going to laugh?
I think you are going to laugh. Yes. We're going to go to Tyler Hero in a second, but first. He's never heard that before. Let's check in real quick and give Tyler Hero a hero's welcome here with the only way you can in Miami with a kazoo. No, Christine Lisi.
Well, I
okay.
Didn't know you didn't throw to me. I didn't know.
I'm sorry. I thought that music, the kazoo
well,
was
did,
a fairly
but you said, let's introduce Tyler.
That's a fair point, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
She actually does have a good point.
That's
there.
All right.
You
good
do
point.
No,
yeah, should we do it? Tyler's
yeah,
waiting. All right. Yeah. Let's wait. Thank you.
Sorry, Tyler. And finally, Kraft has introduced pumpkin spice macaroni and cheese. Speaking of pumpkin and mac and cheese, Dan, back to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Christine.
Rough day.
Yeah, we rattled you. So Tyler Hero joins us now. Do you get tired of people playing this kind of music around you? Oh, you just saw the Army video. Yes. Tyler, thank you for joining us. Can you explain to us how it is that you're feeling these days? You could not have expected everything that we're seeing. Nobody expected everything we're seeing.
Yeah. We feel good. Obviously, winning the Eastern Conference Finals is a big accomplishment for me and for the rest of the guys on the team and the coaching staff, but obviously the job's not done. Our main goal is to win the championship, obviously, but, you know, it feels good right now. We enjoyed it last night after the game, and then, you know, we'll be back to work tomorrow.
All right, but if I go to Tyler when he's got the Devin Booker posters in his room as a kid, and I say, "Hey, you're gonna be playing against LeBron in the finals, your first year in the league," you say what to me?
I'll probably say you're out your mind. just because obviously, I know how hard it is, and Coach Spo's been. Just reiterating that to us every game, every day that, you know, it's not easy to get to where we are. So to not take anything for granted. But, you know, it's just crazy to be here and, playing LeBron in a couple of days for a world championship.
The Heat tell me you're always the last guy to leave the gym, that you have an uncommon love of basketball. When you're experiencing this season, you expected it to look like what? If I come to you at the very beginning of the season, I say, Tyler, where's this team going to end up and where are you going to end up? What are you saying to me?
At the beginning of the season, I think we all had a common goal, and that was obviously to win the championship. But obviously, you never know. With, you know, we have a bunch of new guys. Obviously, me being a rookie, Kendrick Nunn being a rookie, just, you know, a bunch of new guys on the team, and you never know how that can go. And I feel like, you know, just a great group of guys in the locker room has led to our success. And then for me as a rookie coming in, I was just wanted to come in, hopefully get some minutes, compete, try to play myself into the rotation, and just continue to learn from, you know, the vets that we have. But, you know, I definitely didn't think it was going to look like this.
Tyler, how do you feel about the music playing underneath here? Like, I mean, it's are you beautiful. Annoyed by it?
Why would he be annoyed? Nothing annoys this kid. What's annoying about that? He doesn't.
I don't think he knows who this is singing.
He's unflappable. Do you know who this is singing? You're not old enough to know who this is singing,
nah,
are you?
No clue.
I mean, we could play this game. Yeah, I mean, he's very young. So how does this work with you, Tyler? Like, you get carded, right? You're not allowed in bars. You go to a bar, you're going to get carded, correct?
Yeah, for sure. Not allowed to drink.
And so, all right, so that's the way that one works. He's a little young for that. So can you explain to me, Tyler, was there some sort of design in the game that you had with the 37 points where we're like, okay, somebody told you, Tyler, time to take over?
Not really. No, I think just the feel and the momentum throughout the game. I think I had it going a little bit, and then – you know, Jimmy and the rest of the guys just continued to give me the ball, and I was just making the right play and ended up having 37. But just teammates just trusting me, coaches trusting me with the ball late in games. It's just big for me.
Were you underestimated much as a basketball player as the white kid?
Yeah, definitely. that was pretty much my whole life. Everywhere I went, everywhere I go, whether it was, you know, tournaments or, you know, national camps, with big time players through middle school, high school. That's just how it is, though.
Is that where the fearlessness comes from being in that fire, or does it come from somewhere else?
I would definitely credit it to that. Just, like you said, being in that fire and having to make it out every time, and just, you know, going up against anybody and not backing down. I think that's where that comes from.
Can you tell me about the way that Jimmy Butler treated you at the beginning, at the very beginning? Because you guys seem to have an unusual, unique relationship.
Yeah. Well, when we first met, he flew me to Chicago, and we ended up working out for like a week in Chicago together. And then we flew to Miami together, and that's when we started like our 5-on-5 stuff with the team. And the first day they made me guard Jimmy the whole practice. And he guarded me, and I guarded him the whole practice. They kind of just threw me in that fire, and I didn't back down, obviously. And he respected it. I got his respect from it. And then just the rest of the guys seen that, you know, I wasn't going to back down, but I'm still going to listen and still try to learn as much as I can from the vets that we have.
Tyler Herro with us here on ESPN Radio. Tyler, has anyone told Pat he's wearing the mask upside down? Has anyone?
I don't think anyone's – what? I haven't even really been able to talk to Pat because he's not allowed to come down. But I did not realize he was wearing his mask upside down.
Yes, he's been wearing his mask upside down.
Tyler, you can tell him now. Like, you're the guy. You should be the guy.
They're not having any interaction. Hey, he just told
pick
you.
Pick up the phone.
Are you aware of how your jersey sold the night you scored 37 points?
Someone told me that it sold pretty well after the game.
So, yeah, I can't imagine what that's like for you in terms of your dreams coming true, Tyler. It's all happening for you. Like, you've dreamt about this since when?
Since, I think, ever since you pick up a basketball. I think you every kid dreams of playing in, you know, the highest level possible, playing in games like last night, playing in the finals. I think that's what every kid dreams of. And I think for me, it started probably when I really started playing basketball, which was probably like 4 or 5, and then just continuing to get better. The more, you know, you get better, the more hungry you get. So,
Have any of the veterans? Excuse me. Have any of the veterans? Tyler Hero with us on ESPN Radio. Have any of the veterans given you wardrobe help?
Say again. Sorry.
Have any of the veterans on the team given you wardrobe help? I don't think you can hear me over the sound of the music. I don't.
No, they haven't. They haven't gave me any help. No.
Okay, so but nobody's buying suits for you is what I'm saying. Sometimes the rookies get some aid in that regard.
Oh, yeah. Udonis, OG, Haslam bought me a couple of guys' suits back when we were in L.A. earlier in the season.
Tyler, if I ask you to go back to Wednesday night, game 4 against the Celtics, the big night where you had 37 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, when you're going like that, when a shooter's going like that, can you articulate to us in the audience what that feels like when you're in it?
I really don't feel anything. I don't think anything. I'm just playing out there with no conscience, just letting the game come to me in the flow of the game and, you know, the pace of the game, and just trying to, like I said, you don't really feel anything. So just trying to make the right play and the right reads every time down.
Do you feel anything when Jaylen Brown strips you and you look very frustrated on the court last night and it looked like it might be slipping away, but then you guys pulled it back from him?
Yeah, you definitely feel that a little bit different.
Can you tell us, Paul Pierce says he can't call you Bucket. He can't call you Bucket because someone who averages 11 points a game, he can't call you Bucket. You got anything to say to Paul Pierce?
I average more than 11, first of all. I think I just averaged about 20 in the Eastern Conference Finals.
So. Attaboy.
All right. You enjoyed the answer you gave to that. Tyler, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it, sir.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Gus.
All right, man.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
The rare interview with an athlete that on the podcast will not be hurt by our inability to broadcast music on the podcast, because Tony was in here howling. It was so great to hear that music behind, some cliched answers. Like, it was just funny to hear like generic athlete interview and Mike just riding the music up high so that you literally couldn't hear what he was saying, but it didn't matter because we were serenading him.
All but maybe one of those songs is older than the guest.
Russell Wilson would have had another touchdown pass if Metcalf hadn't done something that, while silly, he ended up winning the game afterward. But I don't know how you cover the people on that team. I don't know how you slow that quarterback now that he actually has these skill position weapons that are daunting, because Metcalf is a human being that runs very fast for that size. And seems to get behind everybody, so much so that when he catches, first of all, Russell Wilson throws such a beautiful deep ball.
It's amazing.
It's just crazy. Yep. But when are these guys going to learn to, and I know this sounds old, but it seems fairly amazing. I guess DeSean Jackson is still in the league, that you wouldn't learn the lessons of DeSean Jackson. Just get in the end zone before you start with the celebration. Like, get in the end zone. He gets to the 4-yard line and the Cowboy defensive back just knocks the ball out of his hands because he's already slowing down.
I'm not telling that guy what to do, DK Metcalf. He makes me feel bad about being a man, just about myself. I mean, he does. I'm not going to tell him what to do. That guy's more of a man than I'll ever be.
Yeah, we'll put it on the poll. Does DK Metcalf make you feel like less of a man?
You ask, how do you stop him? And usually you could count on that offensive coordinator stopping Russell Wilson. But now they finally figured out, let Russ cook.
We have funniest thing from the sports weekend, but we're not going to do it here. Let's go ahead and give the sponsorship to the people. We'll do it in the post-game show if you want to spend some time with us on the post-game show. If you want to vote on the polls, at Lebatard Show is where you vote.
Funniest thing from the sports weekend is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
So some of you are complaining because there was music playing underneath the Tyler Hero interview in a way that made it hard for you to understand some of what he said. What I was rooting for there is that Tyler Hero would say something enormously newsworthy that couldn't be played anywhere because we'd have to buy the music rights of. There are some people, Mike, I'm not kidding, that are writing in saying they thought their AM and FM feeds on terrestrial radio had bled together because there was some Nickelback in there. And Tyler Hero couldn't hear the questions, but it seems pretty clear that Tyler Hero doesn't. He might know who Mariah Carey is, but he's not familiar with her work.
I had like 17 windows open at the same time, and occasionally, just because of the way the ESPN website is, if you're checking scores, there's a little video thing.
Wait
on the
a minute,
side
Billy,
that
were you
trying? It's an ad.
Were you trying to turn off music the whole time?
I was trying to see, did I open iTunes somehow? Like, which tab is playing this music? This is really distracting. I can't follow along the interview. Like, what's happening? I just started closing everything, and then everything was closed, and I'm looking, and I'm like, where is that coming from? Is this in my head? Like, what's happening right now?
Billy's looking around his apartment right now. I think that is what we were going for there. We, you know, we don't like the athlete interview around here. And 19-year-olds can be a particular challenge, especially if they've been indoctrinated into the don't say anything. You know, like we just come back to the huddle and play basketball with us. And so we decided to allow him to have a bit of music behind him, a bit of singing.
You know that organization so well. When they learned, someone learned that Tyler Hero was coming on with me and you today, that had to be the man. Don't say a thing.
Yes. I mean, I'm sure there was fear throughout the organization. I hope they don't ask him about the Kuzma girlfriend.
As it turned out, all those songs had the word hero in it.
Yes, that's the thread. Wouldn't it be great, though, if somehow he had said something newsworthy enough? He came after Paul Pierce a little bit, but we needed something juicy and newsworthy that couldn't be played by anybody because somebody would be having to get Mariah Carey's, it would have to be paying her for the rights to play the song. And then people would be watching television and not clear on why, whether they, you know, like Billy. Billy just looked around his apartment after he closed all his tabs, wondering where the music was coming from.
Turn down Bonnie Tyler. I can't hear him say we got to take one game at a time.
Who do you think learns of the other one first, Mariah of Tyler or Tyler of Mariah?